So Mark chapter 14, and we're reading from verse 53. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death. And they found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Do you answer nothing? What is it which these witness against you? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? And Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, What need we any further witness? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, to buffet him, and to say unto him, Prophesy! And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us.
Thanks, Lord.
And there's a bit more to read to the end of the chapter, which we'll come to. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Just a little bit before our reading tonight, the reading from last week, at the end there, speaking of the disciples, it said that they all forsook him and fled. His own, his disciples, forsook him and fled. Those who had been closest to him forsook him and fled. And of course, in Isaiah 53, which we come back again to again and again, it says he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And then it says, and we, not they, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And now we find that he is accused and condemned by his own people, the Jewish nation, the people of God. And he's led away in verse 53, where we began. He's led away to the high priest, to the high priest's house, one gospel says, to the high priest's palace.
Yes.
And he first went, if you read John's gospel, he first went to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest. And Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas. It doesn't tell us that in Mark's gospel, but that was the situation.
Yes.
Before he's had a trial, before he's found guilty of anything, before that he's even cross-examined, he is bound and sent to Caiaphas. There's presumption there. He's guilty before he even starts. In John 18, we read that it was Annas who sent him bound to Caiaphas. Caiaphas seems to be a high priest who's under the influence of his father-in-law. Here in verse 53, we find also that being taken to the high priest, they're actually taken to the high priest's house or his palace, and with him, with the high priest, were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. The whole lot. I mean, think about where we've been. Last Supper, praying in Gethsemane, 3 times, maybe an hour each time, but 3 times praying the same prayer. By the time they get to the high priest's palace, it's beyond the middle of the night. This is a campaign that's been put together to get Jesus condemned and crucified.
Of course it is.
There's no fair trial going on here. Everything's been plotted beforehand. It's gone in the middle of the night even. And it says in verse 54 that Peter followed him afar off, even to the palace of the high priest. Peter followed. He had a go to defend the Lord in his way, chopping off someone's ear. And now the disciples have forsaken him and fled. But actually, Peter follows. No doubt at a distance, but he follows. And he sits with the servants that warmed themselves by the fire. There was a fire there outside the high priest's house. A fire there because it was night. A fire there because it would provide light as well as warmth. And we find in one of the other Gospels that it says that also the officers were there too.
Yeah.
He's got to mind what he's saying. It wasn't just the servants, as it says in Mark's Gospel. The officers were there. John chapter 18 and verse 18. The officers were there as well. He's got to be careful what he's saying. He knows they're there. These are important words. And this is in this Gospel about Peter. Mark's version of it. Mark's version of it is going to come from Peter himself. You see, Mark, after Jesus died, risen again, Mark was an associate of Peter. He went with Peter. Peter would have told him all these things. So we're getting a testimony here that probably came originally from Peter himself. Mark's put it down in his gospel. We find also in John 18 and verse 15 that it wasn't only Peter. It says another disciple came. Doesn't name him. Most people think it's John. But in John's gospel it says another disciple came and he had a word with the girl that was at the gate and he was led in and so on. So there's Peter and John, if it is John, but another disciple anyway. Now, Jesus is brought to the ruling council, the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin consisted of 70 of the elders plus the high priest. And they know that they need evidence to get the death penalty. You see, they were not allowed, the Romans had taken away their power and authority to execute people for blasphemy. Stephen, later on in the book of Acts, was actually lynched. What they did was illegal.
They lynched him, yeah.
They did not have the authority to put anybody to death. If they wanted the death penalty, they had to go to the Romans. So they're looking for evidence that would secure a verdict of guilty,
yes,
death, punishable by death. Now, you see, as far as they're concerned, they would execute somebody for blasphemy, what they would account to be blasphemy. That was a just cause for putting somebody to death. But they've got to get a cause that the Romans will accept. The Romans won't accept blasphemy against the Jewish God as a reason for executing somebody. See the centurion that had Paul arrested when there was that commotion at the end, towards the end of the book of Acts.
Right.
He was reluctant to have Paul tried and convicted and put to death for some religious reason. What could they convict him of? You see, they complained about him, then accused him of things that were wrong, which they said were wrong. He healed people on the Sabbath day. He's broken God's law. That's how they interpreted it. But it was okay for them to save their animals on the Sabbath day if they got stuck in a ditch. They're just not speaking in a balanced way. There's no way that that would even be upheld in a Jewish council.
No.
That he healed people on the Sabbath. He's doing good on the Sabbath day. He ate with publicans and sinners. Doesn't make him worthy of death. There's goodness there. They can't convict him of acting like a sinner.
No.
He's ministering to them goodness. There's nothing there that's worthy of death. There's no crime that he's committed at all. And certainly nothing worthy of death. So none of these complaints will do. So in verses 55 to 59, it says, the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness did not agree together. And there arose certain that bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. They couldn't get any agreement there. We heard him say, verse 58, I will destroy this temple made with hands. The wrong interpretation of it. You see, in Numbers 35 and verse 30, there's this very clear instruction that one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. It's in the Torah.
No good.
In Numbers 35. One witness can't. And if you read Deuteronomy 19, you'll find there it says that if somebody is found to bring false evidence against somebody to have them punished, whatever the punishment was that was in mind, that they will get it instead. They've got to be careful. The high priest not being able to find witnesses that agree, he can't even get the two witnesses that are needed at least.
Yes.
They've all got different stories. Then begins to examine Jesus. He needs the conviction that will bring a verdict of death on Jesus. But he will also need a case that will satisfy the Romans that he deserves to die. You'll find it coming up in the Gospels. Forbidding to pay tribute to Caesar. That's what they wanted to get him for, wasn't it? They tried to trap him into and lead him into that one. He needs his verdict. And so the high priest stood in verse 60 in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it which these are witnessing against you? All these false witnesses who can't agree, you're not answering anything." And he held his peace and answered nothing.
Yes.
Didn't have to. No two witnesses agreed. Didn't have to. No one witness could not witness against him.
No.
He answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said to him, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? The Son of the Blessed One?" The high priest would not say the Son of Jehovah because they would not utter the word, the name Jehovah. They would not utter the name Jehovah. That's why, in our authorised version of the Bible, the name Jehovah is always translated as Lord, because it is copying the Jewish practice of not saying Jehovah, but of saying Lord, Adonai, when they come to that in the scriptures. That's how much it was affected. And Jehovah...
Yes.
Jehovah... Well, we don't want to discuss that now, but Jehovah is probably not the pronunciation of the four-letter name of God anyway.
Yahweh.
It is actually those four letters, but when they introduce vowels, the little dots and dashes around the letters, they put the vowels of Adonai in with the four letters of the name of God, which brings out Yahovah, A-O-R, Adonai. That's why it's translated Lord, because Adonai means Lord. Moving on. "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" They won't say the name Jehovah. Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, and he answers quite, I believe, deliberately, with the divine name.
I am.
I am. I am. That's what God said to Moses.
I am.
When he said, "Who shall I say has sent me?" In Exodus, God said to him, "Say, I am has sent you." Exodus 3 and verse 14. Mm-hmm. "Say, I am has sent you." And then he carries on. "And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." What was Jesus talking about? On the right hand of power coming in the clouds of heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
He was talking about judgment coming.
Yes.
But when the Lord comes, it will be to bring judgment when he comes in that way. In Mark 13, the previous chapter, in verses 24 to 26, "In those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, and from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven." Then comes judgment.
Yes.
He was talking about judgment. The high priest wants a verdict of guilty. Death. And when the Lord answers this question, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes. And says, "What need we further witness? You have heard the blasphemy." He's got more witnesses. They've all heard what Jesus said. And they are interpreting it as blasphemy.
Yes.
Because he's making himself as God. We don't need any further witnesses. We've got the number of witnesses we need. You've all heard it. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death.
Yeah.
He's got what he requires. But that's only going to satisfy the Jewish court.
No good to the Romans.
It's no good to the Romans. So they've got to play with that when they come before Pilate. He's got to find us evidence now for a crime against the Romans. So there we are. The high priest has really got this idea. Got him now. Got him now. And what do? They immediately begin to punish Jesus. Nobody has passed sentence. Just that you're guilty. What's the punishment going to be? And some begin to spit on him and to cover his face, to buffet him, to say to him, prophesy. And the servants to strike him with the palms of their hands. That was a slap across the face, which was a way of showing offence, of causing offence. In Isaiah 50 and verse 6, it says, I gave my back to the smiters.
Yes.
My cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. Mm. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. It was there in the Old Testament prophecy. You know, there was that taught against Jesus, mocking against Jesus when he was on the cross. In Matthew 27 and verse 43. He trusted in God.
Yes.
Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. They threw it back in his face, you see, when he was nailed to the cross. Jesus endured that mocking.
Yes.
And that shame. He despised that shame. He endured the cross. And then something else. Not enough that his own people should turn against him, reject him, accuse him of blasphemy, cry out he is guilty, crucify him, he deserved to die. But we find that Peter, who is there by that fire, keeping warm, he's just outside where Jesus is being questioned and cross-examined. The door's open. Peter was beneath in the palace, and they come on the maids. And here we read the story of Peter's denial.
Yeah.
Jesus had told him, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times.
Yeah.
Peter said, no, never will. Never will. Not me, Lord. And now the maid asks him, says, you were with Jesus? No. And the cock crowed. Then a maid came and she said, this is one of them. He denied it again. And then those that were standing by, he says, you are one of them. Your speech gives you away. You're a Galilean. We can tell by your accent where you come from. You're one of his. And he began to curse and to swear. That doesn't mean he was using swear words as we hear them today. He was swearing an oath. He was swearing an oath. Don't know him. Don't know this man of whom you speak. And the second time, the cock crowed.
Yeah.
And Peter remembered the word that Jesus said. And I think there's a reason why Peter remembered at that point. Yes, the cockerel crowed, just as Jesus said. But what brought it to Peter's mind is not here in Mark's Gospel, but if you look at Luke 22 and verse 61... When Peter made that denial and cursed and swore at the end, he said, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered. He knew that look. Oh, what was in that look from Jesus? Jesus knew what would happen. He told Peter what would happen. But how does a friend like Jesus look upon somebody who betrays in such a dreadful manner? And he went out as he thought upon it, and he wept bitterly.
Mm.
Oh, isn't that the case? Even when we fail.
That's right.
Even when we feel we've
Amen.
Let the Lord down.
Amen.
And it comes home to us.
Yes.
There's that feeling of bitter disappointment with ourselves. Ashamed of ourselves.
Disgrace, that's right.
And I'm so glad this story is there. And I'm so glad, in a way, that this happened. Don't get me wrong, it was terrible, but I'm so glad it's there in the scripture that it happened, because it shows to us that Peter, having been so close to the Lord, worked with the Lord, seen mighty things happen, and then can betray, well not betray, but then deny him deny that he ever knew him, his Lord and his Saviour, it brings encouragement to us.
That's right.
When we fail, or if we fail, if we fall, if we let the Lord down, we don't have to say, oh, that's it now. We've got the example of Scripture.
Right.
How greatly Jesus loves us.
Yes.
Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's going to atone for the sins of Peter. He's going to atone for the sins of you and of me.
Thank you, Lord.
Those sins which include Peter's denial.
Yes.
Jesus is going to take the punishment for that. In his body, on the tree. Or Peter had just been trying to save his own skin. And he denied the Lord who he was. Denied that he knew him. And Jesus was going to the cross for him. And isn't it wonderful that as we read on through the scriptures, we find that with the Lord, there is forgiveness.
Right.
Jesus paid the price for all our sin. Even when we've received that forgiveness and we do it again. Peter, in his denial, found forgiveness with the Lord. You see, Jesus restores. In John chapter 21, right at the end of John's Gospel, Jesus took the opportunity when they had that breakfast by the lake, took him aside. When he had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? He says to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He says to him, feed my lambs. He says to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He says unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, feed my sheep. Now, what we don't get in English is this, that Jesus used a different word from what Peter replied.
Of course he did.
Jesus said, agapas me. Do you love me with that divine love that God has for us? Do you love me with that divine love, agape love? And Peter says, philose. I'm fond of you, Lord, if you like. He used the Greek word philo, which means to like. I like you, Lord. It's not that agape love.
No.
And Jesus asked him again, agapas me. And he replies again, philose. Do you love me with that divine love? I'm fond of you, Lord. And you know, Jesus comes down to his level, and Jesus then says the third time, phileis me. Are you really fond of me? He uses the word that Peter has applied. And Peter says, I love you, Lord. Philo, say, I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Jesus came down to where Peter was.
Yes.
In his grace and in his mercy.
Yes.
And if Peter get back on that roadway again, on that pathway again,
yes,
and know the salvation of God and know his cleansing,
thank you,
it
Lord,
wouldn't be long before the one who could say, I'm fond of you, Lord, I like you, Lord,
yes,
would be saying it, I love you, Lord. Agape, yes, with the agape love.
Yes.
Jesus comes down in his mercy and grace to where we are.
Amen.
He came down to where Peter was,
thank
that
you,
Peter
Lord,
might be brought back to him and into service again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22 of Luke's Gospel, 31 and 32, Jesus had told Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, he used his old name. Simon, Simon, you're going to go back to your old ways. You're going to do things that you used to do when you were Simon. Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But, says Jesus, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not.
No, that's right.
And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Bless the Lord. I have prayed for you. You know, that is tremendous to know. When we fail, when it seems as our prayers are ineffective and we can't get back, Jesus will say, you're mine. I have prayed for you. He prayed for them in John chapter 17.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You read that prayer of
yes,
Jesus. And in that prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, there's prayer for us.
Amen.
And he ever lives, it says, to make intercession for us.
Amen.
He's praying for us all the time. Be encouraged. Even if you fail, even if you do things that are not right, and he comes home to you and says, Lord, I've done it again. He's praying for you. He's interceding for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you can be strong in him.
Thank
and you,
you
can come back again and can say,
glory,
I love you, Lord, with that agape love. I love you, Lord, with that divine love.
Amen.
As you have loved me.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus is on the way to the cross. He's had to endure all the opposition and the vileness of the opposition. the deceptiveness, the sinfulness of it, of his own people. And while that is happening, his own disciple, Peter, has betrayed him. And yet Jesus can say, I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. And in the fullness of time, Jesus will get the victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes, he will die. But he will get the victory. This is the pathway Jesus has to tread to do the will of the Father. I don't know why Peter followed Jesus. Maybe he thought there might be something I can do. He already chopped off somebody's ear. Maybe there's something I can do to rescue Jesus. But when it came to it, he failed miserably.
Yes.
When it came to it, not only did he not save Jesus, he denied him. But out of it all, Jesus brings the victory. And Peter becomes a marvellous servant of God when we get into the book of Acts, when he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he moves forward in power and confidence to proclaim the gospel of this wonderful Saviour who loved him and gave himself for him. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.